In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope that you've been reading from the daily readings of St. John's Gospel especially. That's the most important to be reading. The Acts are good to read also because they are showing how the effect of Pascha in the formation of the Church. But the St. John's Gospel is especially important to read because we begin it right at the first day on Pascha. And it is truly remarkable. You need to read it 1,000 times before you have any understanding of it. And, of course, you have to live like it in order to understand it. Now, the Monday reading was about the wedding in Cana. And at the end of the reading, the steward of the feast is, or the host of the feast is rather amazed that the Lord not only had the miracle, but that the wine was better than any of the other wine. And so, he said that usually everyone first sets forth the good wine, and then when everybody has drunk freely, then the inferior. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now there are theological meanings to this saying, but there's also a moral meaning. Remember, you read the Scripture to be taught. You read the Scripture so that it enlightens you, perhaps about things you're doing or that you're not doing. Well, what is this man describing? Obviously, if you give the really good wine in the beginning and people are drunk, then they won't notice so much if you give the bad wine later. But this is not how Christians live. Christians live with honesty. You don't try to pawn off bad wine on people, nor do you do things worse at the end than at the beginning. What should we be doing? Our good wine should be saved for later, shouldn't it? Our good wine should be, every day we should have better wine, right? Every day we should be improving. And when, especially in tasks, you can apply this to tasks that you're doing that where you are tired. Let's say take Great Lent, for example. Well, you get tired, and the tendency might be to slack off. But no, we must increase. Not in a mentally ill way where you think you can never be good enough. That's not what Christianity is about. That's what neuroticism is about, right? Is that a word? Being neurotic. Being neurotic is about, huh? Didn't sound right when I said it. Okay? We're not neurotic, but we always are trying to do better. So, there's a moral implication here. The good wine, our good effort, must ever be increasing. And also, there's a moral implication of honesty here. To be honest. The next gospel reading from Tuesday is even more explicit about honesty. Because it's about, well, first of all, it's the famous football verse, right? Everybody knows the football verse, right? John 3:16. That's the football verse. It used to be in the 80s and the 90s. It was always in the end zones. When they were kicking a field goal, somebody would come with a big sign, John 3:16. Sometimes just John 3:16. Sometimes the entire verse, right? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that everyone who believeth in Him should not perish but may have eternal life. And then he goes on a discourse. And then he says, everyone who hateth bad things, who practiseth bad things, hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But the one who does the truth cometh to the light, in order that his works might be manifest, that they have been wrought in God. Well, of course, this is talking about when you're doing evil things, you don't want people to know about it, right? And if you don't want people to know about it, you're not in the light. Well, the light is God. So if you do evil things, you cannot have God. But this is also, basically, also a simple declaration that we must be honest. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. Live honestly. Because if you don't live honestly, you're not in the light. If you give the better wine in the beginning and the cheaper wine at the end, you're lying. If you are hiding your works, your bad works, putting on airs, making people think something that you're someone you're not, you're lying. I used to tell my children something very simple And it's very true, and it applies to us too. When you tell a lie, you're acting like a demon, because the demons always lie. It's as simple as that. So you see, Scripture really is simple. Parts of these readings are very complex that I just went over. I didn't go over the complex parts because some of them I barely understand. But certainly we can understand that the Lord is calling us to honesty. Why? Because He does not lie. So how can we know God if we lie? It's not possible. How can we know God if we cheat? How can we know God if we're jealous or angry? We can't, because God does none of those things. How can we know God if we do not love? We cannot, because God is love. You see, really life is very simple. Live such that your heart is warm and your heart feels God. It won't always feel right. Situations in life are sometimes complicated. But you can learn to be attuned to what is right. Even something as simple as putting the good wine out last and not trying to cheat someone and fool someone. This applies in every case, in many cases, in our business lives and our personal lives. When we're not honest, we're acting like a demon. And there is no like in a demon. So let us strive for personal honesty. If you look in the Scriptures carefully, you'll see these kinds of sort of hidden moral admonitions everywhere. They're everywhere. Everything in the Scriptures is about how to live. Everything. So if you read with that intent to find it, you'll find it. So God help us to be in the light, right? To tell the truth, to live according to the truth. Because when we tell a lie, when we live a lie, we're acting like a demon. God help us.